Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen, and we're here to pump up your parenting skill, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box to listen to our new and archived show. And please leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions on our Facebook page or right on our website. Today, we have a very interesting and really great topic. It's about special needs children and adults. With the rise of autism and other syndrome, we have two really special guests today. And one is a mom who has a child that has Down syndrome. And then we also have a young adult who's in college, and she's going to talk to you about how she's navigated through life. I'd like to introduce you, our first guest. She's currently the interim president of South Bay Down Syndrome Association, which will evolve into a community group of Club 21 Learning and Resource Center. And she started the association in 2008. She and her family moved to the LA area from Britain in 2005. She has three kids. Sandy's her oldest at 14, who's taller than her now. Magnus is in the middle. He's 12. And Ollie, who is 7. In 2004, Magnus, their second son, was born with Down syndrome. Her biggest achievement for the SBDSA has to be the inclusion conference in 2005. They had over 50 parents and 50 educators attend a local one-day conference, bringing a world-renowned inclusion experts into the South Bay. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Karen Ford Cole. Thank you so much for allowing me to interview you and taking this time out.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And our next guest, and I've known her for a number of years now, she is a graduate and getting her BA degree in human services at the University of Dominguez Hills. She has a radio show that she's a host for. It's on KDHR, and she's also on the commission board for the city of Carson. Today, she's going to talk to you from her point of view as a child and adult growing up with a learning disability and her unique special needs condition. So please welcome Michelle Padilla. Thank you, Michelle, for being here today and taking your busy time out from between your classes.
Oh, no worries. Anytime.
So Karen, I want to have the listener get to know you a little bit, and then I'm going to do the same for Michelle. What was life like before your kids?
I taught in a university. I was teaching history of political ideas, and my husband also teaches in university, so we spent a lot of time working, actually. I spent a lot of time traveling. I was working in Eastern Europe after the transition and working with students in Eastern Europe. So,
are you still doing any more traveling right now?
Not very much.
What did it feel like when you found out Magnus was diagnosed with Down syndrome?
Well, we found out actually about 2 hours after he was born. When he was born, he was very unwell. He wasn't really saturating the oxygen, and he was blue, and they rushed him to a special care baby unit. We were in a country hospital, which isn't the best place to be with a baby who isn't doing well. And so we were told fairly quickly that he had Down syndrome. It had to be confirmed with a blood test, but we were told that. But also he had pulmonary hypertension, and about 4 hours after he was born, he collapsed and had to be on a ventilator.
Okay.
And then we were transferred to another hospital. So we had other problems than Down syndrome, really. Down syndrome seemed to be the least damaged at that point.
Okay. So, Michelle, tell me, what do you do outside of college and studying? What do you do for fun?
Well, I try to catch up on my sleep because I get tired and to just unwind, go to Starbucks, just relax, and just try to re-energize for the week.
You said that you're on the commission board for the city of Carson. What do you do with that?
Well, I just started. This is my third month going into it. So we just had like our third meeting, so I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. But I know that I'm an advocate for special needs. They asked me to help them out and promote, or, you know, be an advocate, be the voice, and help them do community events coming up, like autism awareness is coming up, so we're trying to promote that, and Special Olympics, so we're trying to get more people involved to know about special needs.
Wow, now how did you get in that position?
I had a friend that went to Cal State. She graduated before me, and she told me I should go apply. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I don't want to do it because I got too much going on. So I applied, and board members wrote a letter on my behalf to the mayor, and the mayor approved me to be on commission board.
I think you sound busier than someone that doesn't have the special needs and all this. So congratulations. I'm really, really proud that you are going to be a part of this awareness for the city.
It's not easy, but again, it does take a lot out of me. So what I do is I sleep all weekend so I can catch up on my sleep. And then I try to just relax or watch movies or just hang out with my friends. And right now I'm in school, so I'm taking 11 units, which is kind of hard because I do have a learning disability. So I get a lot of help from professors here on campus at Cal State Dominguez, as well as the Disability Center.
So you've learned to adjust to what you need to do. Like you said, you need to sleep all weekend just to get that going. So you have created a system so that you can create the success in your life that you're looking for.
Yes.
That's awesome. Now, so Karen, so tell me, how has life changed for you?
I don't think it's a big adjustment. I think we're a normal family. We do what everyone else does. Sometimes things take us a little longer because my son has a lot of issues with transitions. So when we leave the house, it sometimes takes some doing to persuade him to come with us. But otherwise, we do things that all families do. We go hiking, we go to Knottsbury Farm. I think it's more of an adjustment to live in California from England than the adjustment of having a child with Down syndrome, really.
Okay. Michelle, I know you have a very unique syndrome. It's rare. Can you explain it to us?
Well, kind of like Karen, I found out at the age of 35, I got diagnosed with a rare disease called 22q11. There's other names involved, but that's the major name of it. And it's got over 200 symptoms. And the most common are congenital heart defect, a learning disability, schizophrenia, teeth issues, sinus problems, and autism. But I only have a few of those symptoms. I have a congenital heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot, which I've had 3 open heart surgeries, and I've had 2 sinus surgeries, mouth surgery, and I had an infection that went to the brain, which caused me to have a seizure, and I fell on the ground, started shaking, and because of that, I was in a coma for about a week, suffered brain damage. Well, like Karen's son, I was called a blue baby, lack of oxygen that went to the brain.
Oh, a blue baby. Okay.
Yeah.
What caused it?
Well, we're not sure. I think because, well, back in the 60s, my grandfather was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and that's in North Carolina. Because of North Carolina, they were drinking water from there that had some type of chemical. So I'm not sure it's because of the water they drink. That's how I got the syndrome. But I got it by accident, and no one in my family has it.
Interesting. So this may not be genetic then, right? Like you said, it could be something that happened while you were in there, and she may have drank the water.
Yeah. And it is genetic for me because my kids could get it. It's a 50-50 chance my kids could get it because I have the gene.
I'm going to ask Karen, yes, what are some of the challenges or issues that you face as a parent of a child with special needs?
Well, so Down syndrome affects children in many different ways. It's a syndrome. So you have all these different symptoms, but not everyone who has it has all those symptoms. So when he was a baby, the first challenge was just the milestones. Children with Down syndrome typically have very low muscle tone, and so the growth and development is slower. And everything like crawling, sitting up, walking, you know, your typical child just does it.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it. But for all of those steps with Magnus, we had to work with a PT and do exercises and work with them and get him to do those things. And particularly walking took a long time. He was almost 3 before he could walk.
Okay.
So carrying around quite a big kid for a long time. And then for us, the biggest problem has been speech. So he has apraxia of speech as well, which it can be a symptom of Down syndrome, but not everyone with Down syndrome has that. And so he finds it really difficult to make words. Just knowing what he wants, just expressing his needs, mm-hmm. is very difficult for him. We have used sign language, and now he's getting to talk more, but he still prefers not to. It's hard work for him.
Okay. So, Michelle, you tell us from your point of view, what's been some of the challenges and issues you face as a child with a special need?
Well, I could tell you that I can't remember certain things as a child growing up because of all my surgeries. So I have a short-term memory gap, and I could only recall certain things as a child. And when I grew up, I can't remember certain things as my childhood gotten into adult, if that makes sense.
How does the school system treat you guys? How does the whole system?
Well, it works pretty good. You just have to know how to talk to people and tell them in front that you have a disability. I did have a professor one time give me a hard time because of my disability, but he also had a language barrier. And because he had a language barrier, I had a hard time understanding him. So I had failed a class because of the language barrier. Yeah, that's some of the issues that I have.
What about in the younger grades? Did you get enough help that you felt you needed?
I think I did, yes. I went to special ed classes. I understood what I needed. You know what I'm saying? I understood a little bit. And I think as I got a little bit older, I found that the more I went to school, it will help me with my learning disability. It will make me a better person. So as long as I continue to go to school, it helps me to focus.
What about you?
Well, the real problem for children with Down syndrome is that when you talk to experts, when you talk to any educational psychologist, everyone will say that the best place for a child with Down syndrome to learn is in a classroom full of typical children. And the law here is very specific that that should be the best case scenario. And the state wants schools to do that, but families in the South Bay are having trouble getting schools to support their children in general education in that way. And a lot of school districts prefer the children with, they think it's better for the children with Down syndrome to be in a, what we call an SDC, a special day class, which is separate. So, for example, in Redondo Beach, a lot of the children with Down syndrome, they recommend them to go to the campus at Lincoln, one campus in the whole of Redondo Beach, rather than having the children go to the same school as their neighbours. And yet we know from research that them going to the same school as their neighbours and being part of their community is really vitally important to them. And children with Down syndrome, they learn from copying. So if you put them in a classroom with lots of other people who have disabilities as well, they do start to copy those disabilities. So it has been a struggle for the families in the South Bay to try to get an inclusive education. And that's what we've been working on in South Bay Down Syndrome Association, is just helping people know what they need to know about what the law says, but also how to support their children if the schools aren't.
Yeah. Do you find that to be true, Michelle, that you learn better being around all the kids as opposed to just being segregated with children with special needs?
Yeah, that's how I got better with the radio station. And that's why I'm in a group, you know, they know me pretty well. They take care of me. If anybody picks on me, they'll pick on them back. So they kind of defend me. I have that support network.
Okay. Stress comes with being in college. But with your special needs, is there an added stress? And if there is, like, how do you cope with it?
There is, because I, like I said, I'm also the president of Human Services. And so I have to tell myself to say, slow down and stop and take a minute to myself and listen to music, because that basically releases some stress. Or watching an old program. They call it music therapy and they call it TV therapy. So that's what I'm learning in class. And this is another way to de-stress and get away from everybody and not, you know, and just relax a little. They even said Facebook is a therapy now. I did not know that. So
you mean like going through the thread and reading the articles on Facebook or posting?
Posting, reading articles, telling your story. That's another way of de-stressing. So they call it Facebook therapy.
Oh, wow. Did you know that, Karen?
No, I'm finding Facebook quite stressful just now.
Okay, so Betsy DeVos, I've heard from reading on the news that she wants to change the public education system, and part of that is changing the special needs system.
I guess there's three elements to it. One, when she was up in the Congress being interviewed for the nomination, she talked about the IDEA, which is the law that governs special education, and she seemed unaware that it was a federal law, and that federal law governs what happens in the states. So there's no way really that if there wasn't that federal law, she said it should be left up to the states. And if it was left up to the states, there'd be a lot of children with disabilities, because we know from history that if the federal government doesn't force equality on people, it doesn't happen, right? So that's one element, is just that she seemed unaware of the law that governs special education.
How will the changes she makes affect your son?
Her main thing is the idea of the school voucher system. And there are many parents who are special education parents, many parents in the Down syndrome community who are in favor of that, because they are having such a hard time with public schools not educating their children, that they do think maybe if they were given a voucher and could go to a private school, the private school could do better. Typically, private schools don't have any special education at all. They just don't accept those students. And the same with charter schools. There's a number of charter schools in the LA area. Wish is one, Chime is another, where they're doing great stuff, really having an inclusive education. They're model schools. They're the kind of schools that we'd like all the public schools to be like. And everyone tries to get into Chime, gets on the waiting list. There's a lottery to get in, yeah. And you know, not everyone can go. But you know, that's her thing is deregulating charter schools and voucher schemes for private schools, so that more children, so that parents have got choices about where their children can go. And some people in the community want that; they want those choices. But most people in the community feel that if you had a voucher scheme, the private schools would only allow in the children who, you know, don't have special needs, because special needs are special and therefore more expensive.
Yeah. So do you think this will affect the special needs kids in a positive or more negative impact?
I think if we had a voucher scheme, they have one in Florida, they have one, I think, in Arizona. If we had a voucher scheme, and if we have more charter schools, but we brought in some kind of regulation that meant that if they take federal dollars, or even if they take state education dollars, if they take public money for education, then they're also bound to IDEA, which is the law that has to govern. So that means that if you had a private school, they wouldn't be able to say, oh, yes, but we can't take this kid because they've got a disability. Okay. They would have to educate them and provide for their special needs, right?
Got it. Okay.
I would be fine with that. But in reality, what Betsy DeVos did, city that she was working in, somewhere in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and she actually was forcing them to take away regulations of charter schools that made charter schools accountable. So she's actually against accountability, and we're in favor of accountability.
Okay. I think she'll be affecting more the public school from high school down. So just let's get back to you, Michelle. How does the school help you? I mean, I know that in the lower grades, Karen's talked about it, but now you're in college, do they also have programs to help with special needs?
Yes, they do. You just have to ask for them, and you have to make sure you're on them. You get extended time taking tests. You get double the time whatever the students are taking. So if it's an hour test, you get double the hour. So you get 2 hours. And you could ask them if the professors can record for you. They even have a smart pen now where you can write on your notebook, and it automatically goes to your tablet or phone, and it shows you what the teacher is talking about. And say, for instance, you have to use the restroom, it's still recording and taking notes for you, so that way you'll pick up. It's like a podcast. So when you come back, you can listen to it again. So those are some of the features schools who are going into college should be more aware of. So it's just a matter of asking the professors, taking time out, and understanding that, oh, yes, this kid has special needs. What can I do to help you out to get to where you need to go?
It's nice to hear that they do recognize that. So now, how is learning different? Well, I guess you won't know compared to someone that doesn't have it, but how have you navigate learning with a disability while you're at school?
It takes me longer to comprehend professors, especially if they're lecturing. I have to ask them to repeat me a couple of times or repeat the question because I have a hard time hearing. So I have to understand what they're trying to tell me. And I have to keep asking them to repeat the question for me to get the point across sometimes.
And they seem to be pretty accommodating?
Yes, and then sometimes what they'll do after the PowerPoint, they'll send me the PowerPoint in my email so I can look it over again and see what I missed during the lecture part.
That's nice. That's nice to know.
Yeah.
So Karen, what kind of supports do parents with children with Down syndrome need?
Well, as I said, the best thing is if the children can be spend most of their time in a general ed classroom, but most children also need speech therapy and OT and sometimes PT, which they get in the schools as well. So often they're pulled out for that. It's really better if those services can be pushed into the classroom. About kindergarten, you start to see the gap where they can't quite keep up with the curriculum. So they might need support either what we call accommodations, which is when they, like she said, you give them an extra hour or something. Giving them less questions is usually the way they do it in schools. Or modifications where the thing that they're using the same materials as the other kids, but they're maybe learning something different. So, for example, my son is in fifth grade, but he's still working on adding and subtracting, and the fifth grade maths is a bit further ahead than that. We're starting now working on multiplication. That's really a third grade thing. But so sometimes when they're doing something in class, he needs to have like a similar thing, but so he's still getting something out of being in the class, but he's working on some different goals. And so all the children have IEP goals, which are written together with the parents as a team, between the parents and the teachers and the psychologists and the therapists all get together once a year and have a meeting, and they decide goals. And those goals become the things that they're trying to learn at school rather than the curriculum that all the kids are learning.
What kind of support are both of you guys getting, and is it enough?
Well, family and friends, teachers, advisors, anybody that's willing to support. So I get a lot of support.
Nice. What about you, Karen?
Yeah, my son, he gets, the main support he gets is he has a one-on-one aide at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a way he does need that. He needs, you know, because the teacher wouldn't be able to cope by herself with his transition problem, but he does become very dependent on the aide. So mm-hmm. in some ways there's too much support and too little support. I would like them to do more support in terms of adapting the curriculum for him, so that it's more meaningful experience for him to be in the classroom. Our school district doesn't have anybody called an inclusion facilitator, whereas in other school districts, they have a professional whose job it is to do those accommodations and modifications. But in our school district, that's put onto the teachers, and the teachers don't really have the time, realistically, to do that.
Yeah, they've got 30 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't even handle two kids. They're saints, I have to say. What has been the greatest success that you've experienced, Michelle?
That was probably getting more knowledge and making it to my other birthday. The doctor said I wouldn't make it to my 21st. I'm now 40 years old.
Congratulations. Oh, you doubled what they thought.
Exactly.
I know you have your radio show. So I want to plug your radio show really quick.
Okay. Well, it is on Kelsey Dominguez, and you can find us at www.kdhr.net. And we are under the awareness show. I actually have a team now to help me get where I am because I do struggle sometimes and I need that extra help. So it's on Tuesdays from 4:45 to 6:30. And we have been getting a lot of celebrities coming into our show. For example, we had Curly's grandson from the Three Stooges on last week. the week before, we had Richard Carr. He was the Tim Allen's assistant on Home Improvement. And then we had, do you guys remember the movie Annie, the original Annie?
Vaguely.
With the redhead.
Well, we had a girl, her name was Roseanne. She played Pepper on the original Annie, and she came onto the show. So all these guests are, they're coming onto the show and promoting different causes, like Down syndrome, cancer, disability. So if you guys ever have a cause that you guys want me to plug in, I would be happy to plug in.
I think Karen has a cause.
Add me on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll make sure you guys connect. So it's the awareness show, right? It's part of the awareness show.
Yeah.
And so she's bringing awareness to whatever needs to the light to be shine on. So please, the link to the show is going to be in our show notes so that you can go straight to it. We're going to wrap it up here, but I wanted to ask both of you just a quick question.
Okay.
One last question. Who inspires you to do what you do?
I guess Magnus does, my son. I mean, he often surprises us when he'll do something that we really thought he couldn't do. And so the work I do for South Bay Down Syndrome Association is for him in some way. But in terms of someone inspiring me, I think that people at Club 21, which is in Pasadena, they have a learning and resource center there. And they are so passionate about the idea of inclusion in education and getting children with Down syndrome to be included. The thing that inspires me about their attitude is that they just don't take no for an answer.
Good. What about you, Michelle?
Well, I would have to say my mom and dad, because they're always telling me to go for it. Even if I fail, I can still say at least I tried to attempt something. And also my girlfriend, because they're always pushing me to go for it.
I know you got to go, and we are coming to the end of the show. So thank you so much, Michelle, for taking the time out. And thank you, Karen, for sharing both of you for sharing your knowledge and your passion. And listener, thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.